Financial advisory program. Just be reminded, as usual, that EMM is a financial literacy program and such answers to questions should not be considered as financial advice, but merely the opinions of our guests. Kindly consult your financial advisor for your personal business financial related issues. Now that that's out of the way, welcome to Everyday Money Matters. And if money matters to you every day, then you should be listening to Everyday Money Matters. Don't forget to be a part of the show, to join the conversation, to ask questions. Do call any of these numbers live. 0809-191-3913 and 0809-222-0913. Don't forget, there's also 0809-234-5913. You can join the conversation on social media as well. We're at Lagos Talks 913 on Twitter. Joins our conversation there. Right, the money individuals, the money people, the money team is in the building. We have Ugodre Obichukwu and Tosin Olasende in the building.
Hello, Lagos.
What's going on?
You always say good morning three times.
Yes. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's why you say good morning three times.
No, just in case you missed it.
You don't think it's an African thing?
No.
I think you just have to say good morning three
times. Like they say three
good morning, everybody. Why is it good morning, good morning? Why
just so that it can enter. You know, there's impact in these things. It's needed. Just like you say, Africa say we have three square meals. Someone explained that thing and broke it down. There's sense behind all that we do in Africa. Don't be afraid. Right. So welcome. You guys are looking fabulous, by the way.
Yeah, you too.
Mm-hmm. Like stop lying. Lie on a Wednesday morning.
You're wearing a very nice short sleeve.
It's a lie. I've been wearing this for 12 years. I've been wearing this same shirt. In fact, the shirt is tired. Shirt has written petitions to the EFCC that I should calm down.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So what's happening with business news? Is there anything interesting happening in the world of business? What's going on?
Nothing really major, right? Except the results have been pouring in.
Banks
are still making huge profits.
It's unbelievable. Even down to cement, impressive.
Oh my God, that's a monster of a company.
So, isn't it weird that banks, even with all that happens with the economy, everyone is saying things a lot, but they're still making huge profits? Is that normal?
Are you jealous?
No, I'm just asking.
So I was talking to an entrepreneur a few days ago, guy who's into real estate and stuff, and so he was talking about funding and all, and he's like, do you know banks don't give overdrafts again? I'm like, that's not true.
No, really?
They don't like this shutdown overdraft.
When you are collecting.
Yeah, because I mean, like, it's just too risky for them. So like,
if
you're not into very, very, very serious corporate, loans, serious, then so that nobody has the time.
You've got to
have very good cash flow.
Yeah, wow. To leverage on what Ugodre just said, did you notice that GT Bank's loan book actually dropped? So I mean, they were able to see a rise in their profit after tax. However, their main source of income has dropped.
So what's going on is that, you see, it's all volume play. So they have a lot of cash. So if you can put a lot of that cash in treasury bills, it's a concept that we call Shashen Bank.
I see.
So you just put it into treasury bills and fixed income. Right, so you earn like your 16-17%.
And because there's volume on that.
Volume on that stuff. So with that kind of volume.
Literally no risk.
Yeah, it's very risk free. Wow. And they do a lot of big ticket deals that don't have a lot of risk in them.
There's also
a lot of corporate bonds out there. So I mean, like, there are very, very serious deals that these banks can do that they don't really need to start to invest in
people,
in businesses, especially in an economy that is not doing so well. So if you're a small business guy and looking for a bank loan and stuff, and then guess what? There's been a lot of microfinance banks as well, like a whole lot of them springing up, and they advertise loans as if
they're
paying to come and buy it's just everywhere. And guess what? These loans are not cheap.
Yeah, they're actually very. I think we need to also start educating the populace about the cost of loans. So, I mean, I have a platform called Money Africa. And somebody was talking about it on Facebook saying that oh, I'm going to take a loan from the bank and then invest it in. So he is under the impression that if he invests it in the bank, he's going to get 4% on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. But you see, these are some of the miseducations that are out there. When they say they're going to give you 4% per month, what, technically what they're saying is they're going to give you 4% for the month that you brought it in. Oh. So it actually means it's going to be an annual charge. Oh. So sometimes people are actually ignorant about the terms of these loans and all of that. And also for most of these new microfinance institutions, they actually charge you interest rate per month. So it's just this little math of you actually teaching people how to convert a monthly interest charge into a year for them to realize the magnitude of it. So somebody is saying, oh, come and borrow 1 million, we'll give you 5% in a month. Technically, if you annualize it, that is 60% in a whole year. If you hold that loan for a year, you're going to pay 600,000 naira. So are they aware of this cost? Some of them will actually go as high as 10% in a month. So we need to start sensitizing.
So basically, microfinance loans, you know, by nature, it's not supposed to be long-term. Okay. It's not even supposed to be annually. It should be like 1 month, 2 months.
That's
the kind of loan that you use to finance transactions.
Trading,
so maybe you got an LPO, confirmed LPO, from a reputable multinational, and you need cash to quickly procure the stuff.
Okay,
so you quickly get microfinance, you know, plug it in, and at then 5% LPO is probably 30 days after, sometimes or 5 days after. So 2 months, you're looking at 10%. So maybe your margin on that business is probably 25%. So you can make 15% on it within 2 months. So if you're very good at timing that cash flow, then microfinance loans are always very, very good. Yeah, and then they're probably also good for maybe people who need to fund personal stuff. Maybe you want to move into a new house, and then maybe your bonuses are coming some months later.
But you need
to make that expense now, or you need to buy a car immediately, but you're expecting, you know, some other kind of cash flow somewhere else. So it's like a bridge. You should always see it as a bridge loan. So when you don't see it as a bridge loan, see it as the main loan, then it engulfs you.
But then many people actually end up don't saying good see morning it as three a times. Bridge loan. People are using it to get married. Actually using it to get taking 4 million naira to get married.
You can't
pay it off in a month. And actually, I've gone to their website, and guess what? Sometimes they have payment plans for up to a year.
Oh, wow.
So these are things to actually start considering. So if
like
all you want to take it,
man.
Please make it short.
So in 2 years, you're paying double the money.
Literally.
Wow. Interest.
It's just amazing.
It looks like you're taking microfinance loan.
No, thank you.
Have you ever taken a loan before?
Oh, yes, I have.
I paid back,
and yes, I'm sweating. That's why now when they say bank loan, I'm like,
Oh yeah, yes. Okay, I just still want to say something quickly about bank loan. Also, some people actually have a negative, negative attitude towards it. I don't know if sometimes religious related. I think there's somewhere in the Bible that says that, lenders don't loan or something along those lines. But in actual fact, guys, wealthy people use other people's money to
all
make
the
money.
Time.
So as long as you can justify, or as Ugodre said, like, I mean, there's a deal coming that you can sort of justify the cost.
Yeah.
My own issue is when people are ignorant about the cost and they've not done their math, or they're using the loan for things that are not going to bring them any kind of income. Just ensure you're educated and there's a purpose for that loan.
Absolutely.
So someone said that usually when you're, so you have two sets of borrowers, right? The very senior borrower.
When you say senior,
junior borrower.
Okay.
So usually when a bank wants to collect their money back from a junior borrower, they give them a call. Sometimes they don't give them a call. They just barge into their office. Pay my money.
Yeah.
Oga, your
it's
owners,
time.
Pay.
It is time.
Or else we'll confiscate everything you have.
Wow.
Pay that money. We'll call our guarantees. We'll call everything. Sorry, don't worry. I'll pay. I'm scrambling. Call your brother. Boss, if it's the senior, when you go to the senior's office,
do you have the time?
This, I've been trying to reach you. Just, how are you, my friend? Just give me 30 minutes. I'll be out
3 hours later.
Take your time, sir. Take your time. Just sit down cross leg and you meet, and the senior lender, senior borrower is just there. And if you invite the senior borrower to your office, you drink coffee, biscuits,
he's still owing money.
So that's what you want to borrow big.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm getting to, because there was some information released of the World Economic Forum, like a global competitiveness report
index.
And Nigeria's dropped, but they say the main reason
was actually.
Did we rise or did we drop? I thought we dropped.
Okay, I think it was the ease of business
yes, that we went on, but the competitiveness we dropped.
Okay.
Now, the interesting about it is that they used a different formula to calculate it. And one of the things they added was non-performing loans in banks, which is why, or one of the reasons they say we dropped. So if it's non-performing roles and their loans and the banks are doing well, it's just a bit confusing.
Yeah, so non-performing loans are, so there are different categories of loans now. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the bank's portfolio, there are different things that they've put it into. So mm-hmm. there are loans to private sector, mm-hmm. and then there are loans to government.
Yeah.
Right? So if you check out loans to private sector, that's also divided into corporate bonds, mm-hmm. and then regular corporate loans, just regular loans that you give people. Mm-hmm. So institutional loans or whatever. So those are the loans that you probably see a high percentage of non-performance. And that's okay. because of the way the economy is. So the private sector mm-hmm. is winning, right? So, but then banks have basically, which is what Tosin was saying, they've mm-hmm. basically just tilted that balance. So mm-hmm. a lot of their loan book now, their investments go into corporate bonds, a lot more secure form of lending.
Secure environments,
so,
all right.
So corporate bonds, FGN bonds, treasury bills and all that, short-term securities, that's what they do. And then they trade, and they've gotten better at even trading things like that. They have
sound trading desk.
Yeah, and they said it to some of their CEOs in their annual reports last 2 years, said that, man, that's where they're going into. They're just moving into till the economy gets better.
Okay, makes sense. Right, questions. The phones have been ringing. I do apologize. Let's get into this question. You didn't leave a name, but it says, is there an insurance ETF in Nigeria?
Insurance ETF, not that I know of. We do have ETFs in Nigeria.
Very few.
Yeah, maybe a couple or so trading on Nigerian Stock Exchange. Mm-hmm. But none that I know that is dedicated to insurance.
Alone.
Yeah, yeah. They just have a bouquet of products that they invest in.
Right.
But ETFs in Nigeria are not as robust as it is elsewhere.
Very
right.
Few.
I mean, and it's kind of sad though, because for passive investors, ETFs are basically one of those things that you can, you know, invest in, just like you invest in mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
So, not doing that. And Nigerian Stock Exchange is actually not doing well at all.
Yeah, right? Is this because obviously we're getting close to the elections and usually
it's not the election thing. I don't know. There's just not a lot of buzz. It's just, in terms of market capitalization, it's just too small.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be doing it a lot bigger.
Yeah.
We're like on 12 trillion or there. That's
wow.
not small, man.
No, not
and,
enough.
And that's why, if you notice, if a company has to be dual listed, so dual listing means when you're trading your shares on two different exchanges.
Now
Dangote plans to list on the London Stock Exchange as well. The main reason for this is also to have a better access to capital.
Okay, because the volume here is not as large as
they
would like.
So you have better access to capital. You can raise more money and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And by the way, ETF means exchange traded funds, though.
Yeah, exactly. So for the people. Yes, all for the people. This one's here on WhatsApp. Let me see if I can find your name. That's definitely not your name. But anyway. It's a message here on WhatsApp. It says, good morning, EMM. What can you say about poultry business, that's egg production? How profitable is the business, and will 500,000 naira be enough to start the business?
Well, I have a few friends who do it.
Chicks.
I would say that...
I mean, chickens.
Oh, my gosh.
Very good wordplay. Very good wordplay. I'm watching you.
I thought you didn't hear that one. Right, yes. Okay.
So... I mean, I have a few friends who do it. Some of them have done it for a while, so mm-hmm. I want to believe it's profitable.
It must be. I mean, it's
good. But just like any other business, it's got its own risk. And some of the risks include the birds.
Or striking?
You know, no.
I don't know. I'm not in the poultry business. I only eat these.
Why did you see birds striking?
I don't know. It's just...
It's probably like falling sick or getting infected.
Oh,
or something. That's just... Because, I mean, I know a story of someone who invested millions in it, and then the birds got... I think they caught bird flu and all that.
They got
infected, so you have to just...
At what point can you actually register for agriculture insurance? Because I know it's available, so...
That's available.
Yeah. So you have products like that can insure you.
Okay.
Against and things like that. But in terms of the business proper itself, it's a good one. 500,000 can start you, probably get you a few birds here and there. And then, you know what? Maybe you want to... I'll probably look this up for you. Look into the business for you and probably provide information
on
how much margin you can get. Yeah, perhaps on Nirometrics, check it out. How much margin you can get and stuff like that. That's if there's probably one on Nirometrics already. But
yeah, probably.
Check it out.
Probably. Right, so question here that's come in, no name again, says, I'm starting out as a financial consultant and analyst. What are the gaps that someone like me with lots of experience in data analytics can fill, and how can I identify potential clients?
Tosi, tell him.
this is especially for you.
Okay, so...
She's passionate about this.
Okay, so I think from my experience, and also after studying Money Africa and speaking to a lot of millennials, what I've gotten is that whenever people write all those financial analysis and stuff, it feels like they're speaking to their colleagues. So how can you speak in a simpler fashion? I'm not saying dumb it down, but speak in a way that
people would,
after reading it, people actually grasp and understand it, and also bring in the human element. I think that is what is a bit lacking, and that's what we want to see. And that's why when I read certain sites, I'm like, okay, I actually enjoy the way these people write. So just bring it back home, simplify it, and so that way you can connect, you can reach all the people that would have otherwise not read it.
One thing though,
like when I started doing a lot of financial analysis back then, just like Tosin said, you've got to be able to connect to your readers in a way that they can understand. Try and drop as much as the quant stuff as you can. People don't like financial jargons. But in terms of people reading it, it gets them very confused.
Yeah.
So you gotta trust me, it's supposed to be very, very, you know, and try and tell a story with analysis, right? Try and tell a story around it. Don't try to be very too technical. Just tell a story. If there's a way I'm gonna write about a bank making 150 billion or 10 billion naira profit, I'm gonna put it in a very good,
easy to understand format,
descriptive way, and explain how it happened, and explain some of those terminologies. And when you use very, very strong terms, trust me, it's supposed to explain what it means. Just like the way you said ETF without explaining what ETF meant.
Sorry,
everybody understands that.
No, but that's us.
So you gotta be able to do that. And it's fun though, if you're very good at financial. And you gotta read a lot as well.
Definitely.
Is a lot of websites where they do a lot of financial analysis. So also read and learn how they also analyze. There's this one Seeking Alpha. They do a lot of financial analysis that you want to check them out. Yeah. It's a US-based website. They basically just analyze stocks, and it's just fun. And it's like, it's open source. So anybody can contribute articles they analyze. And it's just, they have a standard format, but it's really fun when you go there and see people analyze things. You're like, my God,
it is really interesting.
That's nice. Yeah. I remember the show that I was really addicted to, and it was for that reason, because they took business out of the business realm and they made it more accessible. They gave stories. I don't know if it's still up. It's called It Was Small Business Today or something like that. It used to be on NTA ages ago. So on my way, so I watching cartoons. That's what I used to. Yes. We used to. That's all we had at a certain point. Admit it.
Can we move on?
Yeah, okay, fine. Moving on. Right, another question this morning. Kindly advise on avenues where I can invest in dollars and your opinions about the investment option.
Okay, speaking about dollar, I'm very happy that we're actually having this conversation, and it's not possible to speak about investing in foreign currency without talking about currency risk.
Uh-huh.
I think that's one of the biggest issues there. So what is a currency risk? So that is the risk, the chance that your money might actually lose value because it's sitting in a particular currency.
Uh-huh.
So let's say you had $1,000 and you wanted to invest in Naira. So you changed it to Naira, which is about 360,000 Naira, and you invested it in a mutual fund. So at 12.5%, that means that your total money will be about 405,000 Naira. So you see, please follow my math. So now let's say the Naira gets devalued to like 450 Naira, right? What happens? If you change that money back to dollars, you now have $900. So it was a waste of your time. You lost some money and all of that. So currency risk is one of the reasons why people think about investing in foreign currency. So what are your options? You have the euro bond that you could invest in. You also have US denominated mutual funds. But now my issue is the entry price. I was doing a bit of research, and it seems like the lowest entry price for like a euro bond position is almost $2,500. So that's quite a bit. So hopefully they can open the market to regular retail investors that have way less than that. What are your other options? Other option is also to invest in global foreign stock. So that way your investment is still in foreign currency and all of that. But for, I think everybody should actually consider a portion of their portfolio in a foreign denominated.
So just do euro bonds. I mean, like, go to your stockbroker. You can do that.
Nice.
You know, but try and save up for it, though.
Yes. That's
$2,500, by the way, is it's almost $1 million.
Yeah, it's $1 million.
Yeah, Mr. Million. I do apologize. Do call back. Right, it's not a very, what's it, kind of a question that a lot of people
know
have asked.
That, yeah? The exchange rate depreciates by as much as, let's just say 4% every year.
Yes.
Annualized.
Annualized.
So what it means is that, if you check historically from when, you know, we've always depreciated. So what happens is that we don't depreciate every year.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do, we just take a wham, boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So, but on long run, if you check it annualized, it's about 4%
every year.
So
single.
Yeah. So if you constantly invest in a Naira asset that gives you maybe 3 times or 4 times that money on a consistent basis,
you can beat
that. You'll always be ahead of the currency risk.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So. And that happens. That happens to all currencies. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the dollar. That's really our benchmark. The dollar.
Okay.
And you know, there's this cross rate. So whatever it is, you depreciate by, it affects other currencies as well. So that you can't arbitrage.
All right. Well, let's take this phone call. Hello. Good morning. Done it again. I'm so sorry. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Everyday Money Matters. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this Malik?
Yes.
Why do you sound like there's something else going on? But anyways, welcome to Everyday Money Matters.
I am sleeping. Okay. To grow in my sleep.
Oh, okay. You are growing investments in your sleep. Is that what you said?
And in his sleep, I'm calling him Owazirike.
Right, do you have a question for the money team?
Yeah, for the lady in the studio,
so
I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
There are great insurance in Nigeria. I'm sorry to say this, fucking.
I didn't hear that. What did you say?
She said that there's a great insurance policy in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to say, it's not working.
Oh, it's not working?
Yeah.
Have you had personal experience with it?
Ugo.
Yeah, man. Yeah, my brother.
Somebody last year collected his feed to feed his fish.
Chicks.
From the Ministry of Agri.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that person, the same feed killed so many fishes till deep. They've not been compensated.
Wow. Yeah, but did he have like an insurance policy?
No, wait, I'm doing an example. If the government will give you something to feed your fish, and better you get to invest on agriculture in the country, and the same meal killed not only you, so many of your fishes, what is the government supposed to do?
Hmm. Interesting question. But we'll look into that. Thank you so much for that, Malik. Yeah, but really, is it up to the government to insure your feed, or isn't that a personal thing?
I mean, if they're giving them the feed, the least they can ensure is that the feed is actually appropriate.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know. I mean, like, you got to be able to ensure that. Then you should have some kind of recourse you think you were given adulterated feed and all of that.
Yeah, but that's not really the essence of insurance.
Yeah. So you got to be able to ensure. You got to be able to ensure your business.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
it's things like your stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not that simple, to be fair. Like, and it can be a little bit expensive, but you got to be able to take advantage of insurance.
Yeah, I know it's unbelievable, but we have run out of time. I know. I do apologize. I can't take any more phone calls or questions. But yes, let us round off. What is the advice that you are giving to the people of Lagos?
Okay, the year is almost coming to an end. I hope you're planning for January, because you know people always tend to go overboard in December. Mm-hmm. So this is the time. So if you start setting away 1,000 naira every day, you could be able to at least have a nice Christmas. Yeah, so start planning for it. You know, January is about the corner where everybody gets broke.
Yes.
All right. So that being said, guys, follow our platform, Money Africa. We are on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Very interactive. We also have a blog, www.themoneyafrica.com.
Nice. Ugo Dre, any words?
All right, Sadiq. This is the period where people prepare for the holidays. So so people are buying hampers already. So if you're doing a side hustle and this is something that you want to do, then you better start now. To start to call up all those lovely uncles and aunties and friends that you have and tell them this is the gift period, because people are drawing up lists for hampers
right about now.
So start to do that. That's probably the last hustle for the year. And then if you have people who you want to sell clothes to for Christmas clothes and stuff like that,
maybe
on Instagram, you better start now and start to pick them up, because when it comes to December, it's going to be choked up.
Exactly. And
sorts of stuff. So this is like now. This is the time for the start of trade, right? And then on the stock market as well, there's always this November bounce before December.
Even the crypto market as well.
It's likely that there might be some, you know, investment opportunities outside.
Some gains to be made, so just to focus.
Yeah. So, I mean, beyond that, you want to check, if you're looking for your business news, financial literacy stuff, of course, number one site to go to www.diametrics.com. And of course, hit me on Twitter every time at Ugudre.
Yes.
I will answer your questions.
Lovely. Sadiq. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye. Thank you so much, guys, for listening in. Thank you guys for coming in. Another amazing edition of Everyday Money Matters. We'll be back again, same time next week. Money.